Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Wrestling and Whatever. I'm Mikey Dangerously, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my friend, and yours, Mr. J Glow. How you doing there, Mr. J Glow? What's going on?
We are looking live.
I see that, man. I hear the fans popping.
Deja vu.
And speaking of fans popping, we had our first SmackDown with a live audience, and I kind of want to talk a little bit about that. And I wasn't able to catch the pay-per-view that was known as Money in the Bank for WWE, but hey, Jay Glow, I heard you did, and you could just fill me all up in, and if I have any questions, I could be like the audience and be like, what happened? So anyway, and you know, it got me thinking, before we started this podcast, I had a very like earth-shattering question, and it was, what the hell is that goddamn noise in the background? No. No, it was, what would be one thing, if you can go back in the time machine for WWE, whether it be something very controversial, something, you know, maybe not as controversial, what would you go back and, you know, say, hey, Vince, look, or hey, Eric Bischoff, look, or hey, AWA owner, look. You know, like things that you'd be like, don't do this because it's going to have a rippling, lasting effect. And the one thing that came to mind to me was, I'd love to go back before they started that whole Austin what thing and just show Vince like the montage of how it's just ruined live events whenever there's somebody talking and then they go, what? And then it doesn't even have to be Austin, doesn't even have to be there. I was waiting for the next what?
What?
And you know, he's just made such an impression, and it just seems like it's ruined promos. But I think you said something when we were talking before we started, that you said, like, if the talent is good enough, they could kind of just go through the motions.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You want to elaborate just a little bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're that good enough, if you're that good at ignoring what the audience is doing in regards to stuff that would make you not get mixed up,
right.
Just being good on the mic and being able to ignore it and not feed into it.
But what would be one thing that you would want to go back and change if you could?
Oh man, and this goes with even in life as well. But if we could go without social media in wrestling, granted, it has helped out. It's, you know, it's amassed a lot of money, more so for the Zuck, but it's amassed money. It's amassed money for everyone all over the world, which it's helping businesses, little businesses, big businesses, you know, get over, if you will. But WWE, I mean, man, for that type of business, social media is good for only so much for wrestling, in my opinion. It hurts it out a lot, is to the point where you have fans like us, fans that are 10, 20, 30, 40 years older than us that actually watched the product and really admired and got zucked in right around the Attitude area, and even in the like early 90s, late 80s, like when it was the golden era,
right?
That's wrestling was at its peak. And I mean, wrestling was at its peak during the Attitude era because everyone wanted a piece of wrestling, but it was to the point where social media, once that started coming into play, and when they started doing the touts and they started doing this and that and just really bringing Twitter into the whole wrestling thing. Like, it was cool for a second, maybe, when it's like, oh, wow, WWE's with Twitter now. So I wonder if maybe I could talk to my favorite wrestler. Let's be serious. Your favorite wrestler, let's say, for example, for me, Batista. Favorite wrestler as in someone who, like, recently I've been like, you know, Batista, Mikey, as long as you've known me, I've been a big Batista fan. The only way Batista is going to talk to me, and if any wrestler like that talks to anyone on any type of social media outlet, it's when they're berating somebody.
Right. So right. You're right.
Unless you want to say, hey, Batista, you bald headed son of a bitch, get off of Joe Biden's cock. And get into Donald Trump's van. you know, or something like that. Something kooky, something that's going to grab your attention and it's going to get negative comments. That's what the Batista is going to comment. That's what anyone does. Anytime a wrestler gets offended on social media, that's when they comment. If I say, Dave, Mr. Batista, Mr. Animal, I've been a fan of yours since blah, blah, blah. You've been great. I appreciate all that you've done, blah, blah, blah. Regards, Johnny or J-Glo. And he's not going to fucking say anything. He doesn't say anything to people like that. Unless I have a kid on there that's, you know, dying or something.
I was just going to say something like, if you said at the end of that, regards, by the way, I have cancer. Maybe he'll look. My son Timmy has cancer.
Yeah. Like he's not going to give a fuck. Yeah, so like, it's like wrestling, like for that example, they don't need social media. WWE's page doesn't need social media. There needs to be some sort of a social media created. And this could be a $1 million idea here, where all you do is just pop stuff out there and you don't reply to it. There's no replies. Like we had mentioned earlier.
Well, they do have these certain things. Now, there's something that's going to happen too with Twitter eventually, is that you could have like a paid tier level. And I don't know if that's for like Joe Schmo, like you or me, or if it's for like the corporations where like more of their tweet is like promoted and can be sent out, so more people could see it. I think that happens now already. I know I see that on Instagram. I'll see like some fucking dude like comment something about a picture on Instagram, and I'm like, how? And so it's paid. I'm like, why? And I click on his page, and he's got like three pictures of him smoking a doobie. I'm like, what? What's this for? Like, what did you seriously spend money to promote this like Instagram picture of you looking like a fucking crackhead? Like, am I going to follow you now? No, like, maybe. No, but you know, like, it's just right. One of those things. Like, you know, I could see it working for corporations a little bit more with what you were saying. I think it would still be Twitter. It might be like a Twitter, like, tier thing. You know what I mean? Like they do with right. Twitch and shit like that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of those social medias that are held by a lot of companies, like, you know what I mean? Like, does there need to be a reason that a McDonald's has Twitter?
No,
come get your ass fat. Like
the comments. Just look at the comments. Yeah, like where you have people that are like, you got Jimmy who lives in South Philly. It's like, yo, dog, your McNuggets are fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. And then you got Brandon, the fucking science major at Harvard, not Harvard, at I don't know, pick any big college, that thinks that his tweet or his comment is gonna get. You know, well, I tested your McNugget and I cut it in half and I noticed that 32% of it isn't real chicken. And I also noticed the breading is actually fucking cardboard and like stuff like that, where it's like, okay, I really don't use social media specifically only for my own personal business for my real estate.
Right. Just to get whatever you're promoting out for your
right. Yeah. Like, hey, reach out to me, give me a call. That's it. I mean, I don't really use it enough because of all that shit. Like, I just don't.
And I went backwards. Like, what I should have originally been doing was I should have been posting like my in-game photography, and I'm using that in quotations. I should have been doing that on Instagram, but I started on Twitter. And the cool thing about that for me is that I did get connected to a lot of cool people that are into the same thing. And that's cool. Then you just follow the people that have the same interests.
Right.
But then that kind of causes a vacuum thing, which, you know, if you are going to college, I don't think they teach this in high school, but like if you go to those type of places, they kind of tell you that you start surrounding yourself on social media with the same things. And then, you know, your opinion's as important because everybody else agrees to you, but you're making it that vacuum that, like, you know, this shared opinion is the end all be all opinion, which is furthest from the truth. That's how you get, you know, a lot of our uncles and aunts now after a lot of
exactly.
But then the other thing too is, I don't know, we can go back to this whole thing, but the other thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if you noticed it, and it showed more through me with political ads than anything else, but sometimes I will see that in you know, McDonald's, Burger King or whatever. I feel like it's like the Truman Show in a sense, because I'll go through the ads and I'll be like, that's a bot. And then that's a bot going against the bot. And it's just these bots. Like, to me, they don't seem like real people, because then the other thing too is the Twitter is so like no face. They just joined last week.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, you see that on Facebook too. I know the missus was getting a lot of like, no offense to any of our Indian listeners out there. If you guys are big, I know a lot of them are big wrestling fans. So I really appreciate you guys listening to us. But like, you know, you get these guys that we never talk to and they want to, you know, request friendship. And it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Poonami from, you know, Punjab. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know,
like I want your bobs and vagine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, did you ever notice that going back to that thing? It doesn't have to be the political side of it, but no. like weird like ads. And you go on there and you're like even when you said Francis from Philly was saying, hey, yo, your chicken wings or your chicken nuggets are fire, 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 fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. The back of my head, there is a inkling that like that's McDonald's sending that out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's a created account.
Exactly. For them to be like, hey, look, we're promoting it.
Mikey, that's a thing.
I know.
That's a thing where like where no, people actually not only do they create profiles, but then they have something that they spend money on to create friends for these said things.
To create like, that fandom.
Exactly. And another thing too that's
wrestling also, whatever's doing.
Right. We have so many followers that half of them are John Smiths or Jeff Davis's. No, but one thing I noticed, another thing too, is I mean everyone has noticed it now. If it's not for memes, I feel like people don't notice things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you comment like for us right now. We are using devices where we're recording this.
Yeah.
Our same devices are going to hear us say McDonald's and any money.
Yeah, we'll get some fucking ads.
We're going to exactly. Yep. We're going to be pulling up Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and McDonald's is going to be the first thing to fucking pop up.
Yep.
Or if I say, Mikey, I need to borrow some folding chairs from you. Can I borrow some? Jesus. And you say, sure thing. I go on fucking Facebook, and what's the first thing that pops up? Folding chairs for sales at Lowe's. So it's just like, thank you, but stop fucking listening to what I'm saying.
See, and the thing they got away with that, I feel like this is more sore, even though it's not really a conspiracy. This is fact.
This is fact.
But I feel like there are terms and agreements that we use that we accepted that have our information, and we'll use that to just data mine. You know, oh well, you know they want you know chicken McNuggets. Well, here's an ad. You know, go pick it up. You know, even if there's certain apps, they'll actually email you, like they'll text you, like we do. I'm gonna get we will get like a McDonald's chime, yeah. probably, but the missus has the McDonald's app just for our like curbside to go orders. When we do it, the fucking thing will text her, yeah. And it's like, here, come, you know, da 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 da. And we were not thinking about McDonald's, but it's like, come,
it's like honey, a McChicken sounds great right now,
yeah, you know, but hey, all this talk about McDonald's, you guys got some free ads if you want. Partner with us, just you know, let us know. We'll throw promo codes out for you.
They just texted me. They said, "Come get a McChicken and also go fuck yourself and your podcast."
Wait a minute, is that fucking Iron Sheik that was running?
Yo, fuck yourself, fuck the McChicken, fucking jabroni.
but yeah, I mean, it's just interesting the way that we live in. Is there anything else you want to touch base on before we move on? Because I think we could talk about now.
I don't want to talk anything more about anything that's going to pick up on my cellular.
It already
device.
Did, you know. It already did.
Fucking Iron Sheik will be showing up as a sponsor thing on my fucking page next.
I don't think he has enough.
That's one ad I'll take.
Yeah. But anyway, so I guess moving on from that, we could talk about the first SmackDown that had audience, and I tell you what, I mean, it was very, very joyous for I want to say like the first 5 minutes, and then it got old, and I really didn't care, you know.
Yep,
I'm just waiting for another pandemic to hit. Ugh.
Soon, Delta strain,
yeah, it's true, actually. But no, you know, it's great, people are together, I guess, you know, because we always wanted to be together, and it's
yeah,
just fun.
I've always wanted to go out in public, yep. I love being in public, I don't know.
I love driving in traffic. Constantly. And you know what? The car that I have, I feel like I get picked on extra hard when I'm driving. Somebody just comes up on my ass and just starts tailgating me because of the vehicle that I drive. And that's called profiling. And I am not a soccer mom, all right? I will peel and burn.
Cancel them.
Exactly. I will burn your ass out. I will go speak to your manager. No. But, like, you know, I just feel like I just hate people. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But, you know, the opening of SmackDown, we're going to talk about that. And then, I believe, if I didn't say this already, we'll talk about the pay-per-view Money in the Bank. But so SmackDown opened with Vince coming out. And just like Vince McMahon is, I just thought that was the greatest thing he ever said. So they opened up saying that, I think it was for 77 weeks or 70 weeks or something like that, that they've been without an audience until tonight, you know, and they did this nice big vignette video, you know, crowds and all this stuff. And what we've been wanting to get back into an arena to sit elbow and ass crack with, you know, the guy next to us that fucking weighs 500 pounds.
And smells like shit.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what we wanted, right? Ah,
but been there.
You know, Vince McMahon comes out, and man, I think that was the first authentic cheer that they didn't have to like pipe in, because he's the boss and he's the chairman of the board. I mean,
he's Vince fucking McMahon.
Exactly. And that's what he would say too. He came out, he looked at everybody, he said, "Where the hell have y'all been?" And then he left. And I just thought that was funny. Like, that's Vince from the fucking 90s. You know what
you
I mean?
You gotta love it.
Exactly. That's Vince. Like, and he looked old back then during like the pandemic era, but he kind of didn't look too bad. I think his hair, his pompadour is kind of coming in more. So
he's actually a robot now.
Yeah, actually it is. It's a T-900 and we're going to fucking die.
He's a bot.
Exactly. He's the one that's sending all the fucking ads out. But, and then, you know, then SmackDown was what it was in my eye. I mean, the first match, they opened up pretty good. It was a 6-man tag. It was the Mysterios and Edge versus the Usos and Roman. And I guess they are going to just do whatever they did with Jimmy Snuka for the Uso, because you got your fifth or sixth, whatever, DUI, and he's not being held in anything. Like, I don't understand, like, how he didn't get pulled from television, any of that shit. So, you know, and then the match is what it is. For a number of weeks leading up to this match, Edge was breaking off the bar part of the steel chair at the bottom. Actually, I have a pipe similar to that in my car that I have since high school. Just in case somebody ever tries to carjack me, I could reach. I've transferred it in every fucking car I've ever owned. It's just this lead pipe. He puts it, you know, like in their mouth when he does like a crossface kind of.
Are you going to do that to someone when they try to break into your car when you're
Well, you know, it's going to make more sense to do that than it would be for me to try to reach back behind my seat with my arm while like someone's trying to reject me out of the car.
Hold on.
And then hit him with it. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Stick this in your mouth.
1 second. You got to fall down to the ground.
Open your mouth.
Open.
You know what's funny, Mikey, now that we're saying this, I could see somebody who's not all there and watching WWE, like the 73% of their fans are, and do that. Like, yeah. I'm trying to put you in a crossface with this pipe.
You fucking Timmy and Tommy.
Lay down. Lay
nine
down.
9-year-old, 9 and 8-year-old.
As they're already robbed and stabbed.
Yeah, yeah.
He was supposed to let me go over. Let me tweet about this.
But yeah, I mean, and that was our first of apparently a bunch of roll-ups that happened on that episode of SmackDown that they that's their go-to finish is the roll-up. But that was a Uso rolling up. I think it was Dominic or – no, it was Ray actually. And, you know, Edge got his one up though, and that was leading into this whole pay-per-view that is going to be Money in the Bank that we'll talk about in a little bit.
I wonder if Jimmy was doing that to the cop too. That's why he has 7 DUIs.
He rolled them up?
Yeah. Play it cool, man. No, I got to roll them up. What, you two, smell three, like booze.
No, man.
No. No, man. That's, man. Oos. Come on, man.
Come on, Oos. Hey, Oos.
Every time he says Oos, the smell of like Jack Daniels and Jimmy Beam just reek off him. Oh, that's it. He's drunk. DUI.
All right, we're gonna write you a ticket. And here, have a nice drive home.
You see what I just did with this ticket, officer? I rolled it up.
1, 2, 3.
Oh.
And then, like, you know, SmackDown did was in its, you know, fashion with the rest of the night. And I guess the only other thing that kind of made me start thinking about, like, oh, great, the audience is back in that type of tone, too, was Baron Corbin having his whole speech about he's kind of on the poor end of things, and he's, you know, doing a GoFundMe campaign and shit like that because he's down on his luck because Nakamura took his crown and apparently all of his other stuff got like repossessed or whatever. Exactly. But well, Baron Corbin was talking. That's when the crowd started doing the yes chant, or not the yes chant, the what chant. The yes chant is another fucking chant that, yeah, I don't get either. When Daniel Bryan's not out there, why are you doing it? I don't get it.
Do you know a chant I fucking can't stand hearing anymore?
What's that?
This is awesome.
Or fight forever.
Yeah.
Which one do you hate more? This is awesome.
Fucking all of them. Just stop. Shut up, fans.
What cheer. If they did fight forever?
Cheer if you want, but shut the fuck up. Stop trying to take over the show. You're not cool. Caden, you're not going to get pussy in fucking next year in eighth grade because you're screaming fight forever or this is awesome or you're fucking John Cena headband. It's not going to happen, okay? Shut the fuck up. So all the other fucking overweight motherfuckers out there.
Well, and on that note, I really can't remember how the end of SmackDown went, so we could go into the pay-per-view if you'd like.
Christ.
The following Sunday, there was a Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and how was the audience there, Jay Gore? How did it go?
I didn't really hear them. I actually had I had work that day, so I tried to watch it as much as possible. But no, I mean, Money in the Bank wasn't bad.
Right.
It was to the point where, you know, I'm trying to put it in a nutshell, compare it to other pay-per-views. You could tell that they were really trying right. to, because the fans are back, to try to make it something big. And I mean the first match, the opening match was it wasn't really the opening. It was the pre-show match, which I'm sick of these pre-shows. I'm sick of the panel that they have there.
Too. Yeah, can we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah,
because like, because I am familiar with the panel. I didn't already do it an hour before the show starts. Trying to do this like Sports Center type feel on a promotion or on a thing, which you know, busted wide open. It's fake. You know, I don't want to use the F word here. So why are you doing this? Like, what is the point for this? And why do you put that why can't that match just be the
right?
For the guys, at least. You know what I mean? They're trying their hardest. Then once you like, only put the Intercontinental belt on, you know, we're going to put it on.
But why? Like that.
I know the belts don't mean anything either, apparently.
Bruce Pritchard would tell you that. But then if you ask Bruce Pritchard that now, he wouldn't say that.
No,
but like, you know, there has to be something that you're fighting for, something that something
pre-show and anything else before that, like that, the panel that talks or has the countdown of everything that's really shitty outside. But yeah, I honestly don't think that there should be a, pre-show or anything along those lines. I think it's just be the pay-per-views were back in the 90s when it was the
it started or they do the Sunday Night Heat,
the Attitude Era. Just have it specifically that it's just 2 hours, get everything in, get people over who you want to get over to make the storyline keep going. Don't derive from, and that's like I said, the best way to have a business keep continuously going. I mean, when you have pay-per-views that are sold out back in the Attitude Era, it like just keep it. Why change the formula for success? When you have pay-per-views that were I couldn't afford them. My family couldn't afford pay-per-views back in the day, so we had to listen to the type of thing, like the fuzzy screen, but you could hear it sometimes. Wrestling was that important to me, and you know it was so good at the time for our family to listen to the fact that we were going to those lengths of catching wrestling by watching a fucking screen that's salt and pepper and just listening, because you could listen to the audio at some point.
Yeah, but see, like I could see them doing this type of like pre-show broadcasting back then with like the likes of Gene Okerlund and Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, because they're captivating people to have on a on a panel if they even wanted to go that route back then, but they didn't need to.
Their quality,
right? Now these people, I don't. No offense to JBL King, who phones it in. Caleb Braxton, which, you know, I guess they're doing something with her, and Rob Zimmerman or whatever the fuck that guy's name is, the bald headed fuck. Like, what's the whole point of us tuning in? You're not entertaining. You're not captivating. You're not quality. You're just, you know, you're just trying to hit that feeder to get the next, you know,
buck it's out. Shit.
It is. It's shit. So just start the program. Just start right. The fucking program at 7 o'clock. Let it be the whole thing. And stop demeaning those first matches saying this is the kickoff show. Because guess what? When you say this is on the kickoff show, for some strange reason, for a wrestling fan, I don't care how invested in the product you are, they say kickoff show, your brain immediately goes, oh, it was only on the kickoff show.
Let me go make something to eat and take a shit really quick.
This is bathroom break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
get rid of the kickoff show. Get rid of all the shit that goes along with it. Make the pay-per-view 2 hours. Guess what?
You stay in the kickoff show and they go, oh, well, here's this match, Roman Reigns versus Edge, and this is what led up to it. And then they show the fucking video.
Leave the vignettes.
The fucking vignette shows up again before the match. So you saw that video like 3 times already before the match happened. Do the vignette once before the match. That's it. Then you don't need the kickoff show. You don't need talking heads telling you what to think and how to think.
Like, exactly. That's social media.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is what they need to do.
No go offense back to talking heads, because I think they're a good band.
Oh, Joe. Ba-na. But no, what they need to do is whoever the fucking writers are, pull up 1999 SummerSlam, Highway to Hell. Watch that.
First, tell them what wrestling is, because I don't think they tell these writers.
They don't, dude. They get paid. Why not have fucking us do it?
Exactly.
We've talked about this so many times. I'm sick of complaining about it, but it's just make the product what it used to be. But I honestly, I don't think they have the slew of talent, the drive to, okay, we got to beat out the other guys.
Yeah.
Like the sense of urgency isn't there. So that's why it is the way it is. Anybody with a brain can think that way. It's very lax. Even though everyone says, oh, Vince says blah, 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 you can't do this. Or can you believe I've been with WWE for so long and they sent my shit home in a garbage bag. And then you got fucking Al on Twitter. Oh, Mickey, you're so beautiful. And not spelling right and putting bad punctuation, horrible grammar. Like, she's going to give a fuck about you to the point where you're going to retweet it so many times. It's going to get caught by Twitter. It's going to blah, blah, blah. It's going to number one in Twitter, Mickey James garbage bag. Like, we don't fucking care. Make wrestling fucking good and this won't happen.
Exactly.
Like, exactly. I don't know. Anyway, back to the pay-per-view. Kickoff show, stupid. Essentially, the first match was the tag team match with the Usos and the Mysterios. Long story short, the Mysterios lost, so the championship is now quote unquote with the table.
Bloodline. That's
the Bloodline.
That's an interesting faction name.
It is. That's what had happened in that match. Moving forward to the next match, which
was now on the pay per view.
Which is now the pay-per-view. They started off the pay-per-view with a women's Money in the Bank match. Asuka versus Naomi versus Alexa Bliss versus Nikki Cross versus Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega versus
what are
Natalya
they doing to your chick,
versus Tamina.
What are they doing to your chick, Nikki Cross?
Bro. Bro.
Bro.
Vince? I'm telling you, bro.
What did they say?
What in
they
the fuck the is room? A Nikki almost superhero? Who booked this shit? No, honestly, though, why? If you had crazy Nikki Cross win this, that's more believable to me. Nikki, almost superhero. WWE tests marriages. They really test people. Because Nikki Cross is married to Killian Dane. They just let him go a little bit ago. He's gone now. And it's like, how can we add more salt to the wound, Nikki? Not only are you not going to be this gimmick anymore of crazy, which got you over, super over in WWE, in my opinion, people will agree with me. People will disagree with me.
They didn't have a crazy chick like recently. Like they didn't have that one, though.
She was exactly, dude, and a believable crazy person. Yeah. She's biting the rope. She's animated. We haven't had somebody animated like this type of a women wrestler in quite some time.
Yeah.
And we put a fucking cape on her. We put a mask on her eyes to show her that she's almost a superhero. She's not really a superhero, but she's almost a superhero. If that doesn't have Vince McMahon fucking written all over it, I don't know what does.
You know what? It's not only that it has Vince McMahon written all over it, it has Bruce Pritchard going, yeah, Vince, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
We could call her Nikki ASH.
Why the fuck does... Who? For who? Tell me. For who? For whom is this character for?
Vince. It's for Vince, because Vince, apparently, from an article I read, Vince is very high on the Nikki ASH character. So, because it's his. Because that's why he's super high on it, because it's his creation. So this is what happened.
That's not the Hurricane and Mighty Molly. It's not even Mighty Molly.
This has future documentary, future spot on Peacock written all over it.
Yeah.
Different superheroes in wrestling. We've had the Hurricane. Top
five. Rosie. Yeah.
Rosie. Oh.
And that's it. The number one's going to be her too. It's going
to
be.
She won the match by all the ladders were all up next to each other. Everyone's punching and fighting. And bro, oh God, I'm having a headache thinking about it because I'm watching it and I'm like, they're playing the replay. And it's like, don't play the replay. Don't play the replay because Asuka, as crazy, quote unquote, as she is, and how much of a threat she is to you in the ring, they had her like as Nikki ASH was climbing up the ladder and just while everyone was fighting, she was like, huh, I guess I'll just grab this fucking briefcase and grabs it. Asuka's literally looking at her and it looks like she was having a seizure. Nobody was hitting her. Nobody was putting their hands on her. She could have literally went up, put her hand and pulled her down, but no. And then they played on the replay. It's just such cringe that don't show Asuka because she's literally Mikey. She was right by her. She could have just pulled her down like every other fuck. You have Ricochet doing fucking backflips off shit to knock people off. Asuka, you could have put your arm up and said no and then pull her off.
Exactly.
It was piss poor. It's funny because CBS does a thing for WWE now where they grade their matches and they gave that a C+.
What's your grade on that match after you
fucking F-? Get fucked.
You didn't even put your fucking no, you didn't even fucking spell your name right on this.
No.
Test.
No.
-2 points.
-2 fucking grade.
That's so funny.
Fucking put your name right.
Jesus Christ.
Then do you want to know what the next match was?
Yeah, I want to. Listen, I'm the fan that didn't watch it but wants to be caught up. So
let's do this story time here.
Okay.
I'm going to role play. I'm going to tell you story time and I'm going to envision this and be as much as animated as I can with these
matches. Do this for the next match. Yeah. Do this for the next
Raw Tag Team Championship match. Okay. AJ Styles and Omos.
Almost.
As almost a superhero versus the Viking Raiders, which, by the way,
was
the fucking Viking experience before.
Mm-hmm.
They changed that real quick. Thank God for the audience for that one. But the Viking, it was a decent match. It was well, executed and whatnot. AJ Styles and Omos retained the titles. Omos, apparently, however the fuck you say his name, I don't care if I'm saying it wrong. Is apparently really been working a lot lately with Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
Oh, really?
So he's, and that's what a lot of guys that are in the business should be doing. They should be talking to the old guys, not to do exactly what they did, but to get a feel for everything.
Well, how to play as a big guy in this type of thing.
Exactly.
Especially if you're in matches with smaller guys, how to handle yourself. Because some people will give them they'll give them that whole thing. Like if you're a tall guy, you got to work slow or whatever,
Yeah.
But depending on how
work big.
Exactly. How the audience is going to perceive you. You got to play to your strengths. You know what I mean? And talking that freaking Diesel is Kevin Nash has got to be probably one of the smartest decisions he's made, which makes me think that almost is probably has a thing for the business at least. I mean? He's not just thinking he's an actor. Like if he's going out and talking to Kevin Nash and trying to get tips from him, then he's at least attempting to still light the fire.
Well, that's why NXT is so successful and so good too, because you have the guys that are HBK, arguably one of the greatest wrestlers of all time,
right?
You have him as your fucking coach. I would kill for that if I was in the wrestling business. And he's probably a very good coach as well. Like to say, hey, he loves the business. He's not like Scott Hall or like Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash was in the business to get money, apparently, from what he said in all of his interviews.
Mm-hmm.
He was only in it to get money, but there's got to be some sort of love for it to do it for that long, if, especially when you're good at it.
Yeah.
But to end this match, it was AJ Styles and Omos defeating the Viking Raiders, as I mentioned, to keep the titles. The next match
was it an interesting end or no? It was
Omos slamming them, pinning them 1-2-3. Okay. That was it.
Okay.
So the next match was a squash, in my opinion. It was Kofi Kingston versus Bobby Lashley for the belt.
Oh.
Bobby Lashley absolutely fucking murdered Kofi Kingston. He literally threw him around the whole ring.
Wow.
Choked him out, beat him by submission. It wasn't bad, but it was one of those things where it's like Bobby Lashley needed this, and Kofi Kingston really got taken to the woodshed for him. And I bet you it was some sort of like, this is maybe it was something he owed him, because he literally squashed him that match.
So. Well, was it a quick match?
Kind of. It was quick to the point where Bobby Lashley took control to show everyone I'm the fucking champ here, which I love. I love Bobby Lashley's character right now, because it's believable. It's what we've been looking for in a champion. So he's doing it very well. The Hurt Locker, everything with him. And dude, when they showed that clip of him saying to MVP, hey, enough of this bullshit, back to business. And he started throwing shit out of the ring. Didn't throw the shit out of the ring because he was like, No, it was just like him throwing it out, saying, all right, fucking, you had your fun, back to business. Let's get, this is why we're here. We're here because we are dominant and blah, 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 which awesome. Fucking keep doing that. That's perfect. That's making me believe wrestling.
Yeah, because he's playing out of the sport. It's not entertainment. I'm coming here. It's a sport. Fucking dominate, leave, let's go to the next thing. I think that's building up a Brock thing.
Well, actually, Mike, it's Raw the next night, Goldberg came back.
Right, I heard Goldberg came out, but I still feel like he's going to lose Goldberg, and I think it's going to be Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar versus – it's going to be the buildup, because he's going to beat Goldberg.
Yeah.
And then he's going to – it's going to be a whole buildup, which I'm okay with it. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley is going to be fun to watch.
Either Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, but I think I heard Cena. Not to jump the gun, but Cena came back. How did he get out of that dimension?
I don't know. Okay. Next match was the Raw Women's Championship, which I thought was the match of the night. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. Very, very well, like very well done in the ring. Yeah. Two great. I love Rhea Ripley. Two great female wrestlers. Two great wrestlers in general. Right. Let's take the sex out of there. Two great wrestlers. Charlotte. The added pressure of her dad being one of the best of all time in Ric Flair doesn't matter anymore. She is that good in the ring. So I don't expect her to be the greatest. I know it, because she is the best female wrestlers in the ring. Rhea Ripley, also, in my opinion, one of the best female wrestlers in the ring. She loves the business. They both, more so Rhea, because Charlotte, if she said, Dad, I kind of like wrestling. He's like, okay, get in it. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, two great women wrestlers. They absolutely tore the house down, in my opinion. I thought it was great.
That was the stealer? You think that was the show stealer?
I think so. I think that was the stealer of the night. That match was very well done. They were playing to their illnesses in the ring, like their ailments. They were really selling. And you don't get that, especially in a lot of women's matches. Like, they were really selling really well. So the ending was believable. There was a lot of kickouts, but it wasn't too many. It was maybe two or three over than it should have.
Right.
But it wasn't like, oh, kick out. Oh, kick out. Oh, kick out. Oh, kick out. Like a New Japan Kenny Omega what's the other guy's match where I watched it and it was like 20 fucking kickouts until it was over. And then they all clap. Like, that's not wrestling to me. That's just, okay, is it over yet?
they were clapping because it was over.
Yeah, probably. But the match was good. It was probably, arguably, like I said, the best match of the night. They actually got graded by CBS as an A minus. So Charlotte Flair won. She beat Rhea Ripley. She is now, I believe, a 14-time women's wrestling champion.
She's getting up to her daddy.
She is. Now, the next match. Men's Money in the Bank match. Ricochet versus John Morrison versus Riddle versus Drew McIntyre versus Big E versus Kevin Owens versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Around this time of this match, the network Peacock took a shit.
Ooh.
And it was all over Twitter. It was all over social media saying how it was just shit. It was skipping from the entrance of Ricochet, I believe, came out first, to the end of, I believe, Seth Rollins might have came out last.
Wow.
But it's to the point where I turned everything off and I restarted it and it didn't work. But it was just their network messing up
the feed.
Exactly.
How do you think that works now if it gets to the end of the match and like nobody saw it because the feed was shit? Like, what do you think the morale is with the wrestlers, you know?
Well, see, this is what happened. So from the beginning of the entrance to when the match started is when it started to clear up.
Okay.
So it was just the entrances that were missed. But I might imagine that if you watch it back over on the network, do they cut it out completely because it looks like shit? Or do they just show, like, or do they have their own feed that they put out that's like, oh, look, it was perfect the whole entire time?
You'll have to watch
I will.
Yeah, just to see the repeat.
But for this match, a lot of course, Ricochet's in it. John Morrison's in it. There's going to be lots of flippies.
Flippy.
So it was a Money in the Bank match. It was great. It wasn't the absolute best match ever, but it was what you expect. There's a lot of, you know, jumps by Ricochet. There's a lot of, you know, people climbing up slowly to the ladder, even though they just ran up into the ring. So they didn't make it. Just your typical what you expect from nowadays from WWE. But I predicted that Big E was going to win it, and he did win. He won the Money in the Bank. Big E is now Mr. Money in the Bank. I think he's probably going to cash in at some point. My guess is SummerSlam. He's going to cash in against Roman Reigns, and he's going to lose.
Okay.
So that's my projection. Next match was the big build-up match, which is Edge versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
At this point, before the match started, they really put a feel that Seth Rollins was going to interfere, because they interviewed him before the match started, and they said, Seth went out there. He said, you know, I should be in this main event right now. I guess he was hurting from the Money in the Bank match. He said, I deserve this. You know, whoever's next, whoever wins this match tonight, I'm next in line. And he's just screaming all this shit. And then I was like, okay. People were cheering in the audience, but I was just like, okay, that was subpar. But it was subpar because I knew what was going to happen next.
Mm.
So as they were going out and the match was happening and he was about to get this pin, a lot of back and forth. Edge looks great. A lot of back and forth
between two injuries, one major injury. Whew. And then this recent injury he had, man, he is looking really good.
Really good. So as they're in the match, he's, like I said, they're putting on a fantastic match. He's making Roman look great. Roman's making Edge look great. I really like what they've done with Roman. So kudos to turning the guy heel, giving him a mouthpiece, and making it work. Because in my opinion, Roman Reigns is making me watch SmackDown. If I do catch it,
yeah,
I'm going to try to watch him. So Seth Rollins came out, and he started interfering. And he started doing this, and he started doing that. And at a point of the match, when Edge had Roman beat, Seth Rollins came back out, did something to interfere him. Edge turned around, got speared. 1, 2, 3, Roman won. Roman won the match. It was a very hot finish, in my opinion. Lots of interference that didn't need to be there. But I think they did that specifically just so they didn't completely squash Edge in this match, because they're probably going to have another match.
Mm-hmm.
But and then it came down to as soon as at the end he had mentioned how, you know, this would have, you know, this would have happened regardless, and now the whole world can acknowledge me. I think he said something along those lines. And then as soon as he said that, John Cena's music hit. Cena came back. The whole crowd popped. When they used to boo him. And it's just another thing, too. The fans could make or break you, honestly, and that's what I hate. I hate that, that's the whole thing. That, okay, well, let's cheer for this guy that he's back, but in a week we're going to boo him.
Yep.
It just doesn't make sense. But John Cena came back, did the whole you can't see me thing showing off the air, and then that was it. It was I won't lie. I was like, oh, shit. I heard, actually, Mikey, I turned it off after I saw, because they had the thing pop up. And I was like, all right, it's over. You know, back to work. And then I got a message that said, oh, shit. And I was like, yeah, Roman won. And they said, no. He's like, we both know who Marcus is.
Yeah.
He had mentioned me. He said, I won't ruin it for you, but there's a big comeback at the end. He's a big Bray Wyatt fan, or the Fiend fan. So I thought that's who it was. And then I turned it back on. And before I could even do anything, I already got an update, which I hate. I turned them off and I could turn it back on. But it said, John Cena is back. And I'm like, oh, shit, when the fuck did this happen? Because I thought it turned off. But then I go turn it back on. Then he says, now you can acknowledge me. And then, da, 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 da. So it was just like, oh, the surprise would have been good. I always miss surprises.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where, you know,
when they could still throw those things out to you and you could be like, ooh, what's going on? And then like something like that happens. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool that could happen, at least. Mm-hmm. 'Cause didn't they say John Cena was going to return? Was that for the SmackDown?
Yeah. Might have came out. I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, they kind of put the wind out of the sail for his like really crazy return. He should have just showed up on Money in the Bank.
Yeah. As you an entrance. I mean? He's so Hollywood now. He's so doesn't need wrestling anymore. That is, he's probably like, I'm just going to show up at the end. I'll get this all pumped up for a match. And then John Cena versus Roman Reigns, SummerSlam, Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, SummerSlam. I mean, are we going to watch it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to watch any pay-per-views that happen because they're the only thing worth watching anymore.
Well, that's all I was doing too. And when I had the Peacock Network, but I had it for a pretty good price when the thing I gave it to you for, I was doing it for that two night. I was still doing it up to like almost this month. I was still getting it for like two something. I was like, yeah, that's what it's worth. That's what the Peacock Network is worth to me. But we're going to switch around with our little streaming services just so we can get some different content, because we're kind of getting bored with everything that's on everything now.
Right.
And that's including wrestling. Like, I haven't really been catching a lot of it. I just got that SmackDown. And I loved your overall review of this WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Overall, if you had to give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle, what would you give it?
For this pay-per-view, with even the people back, if we were to do a diagonal chart of where my thumb would lie, whether it be bottom, middle, up,
yeah,
I would say probably about 72% of the way up.
Okay. So you're quite up a little bit. You're not all the way up. Not a whole 100% vertical, but you're just
like a 7.2 out of a 10.
Okay.
But now I'll say this: if that women's match wasn't in there between Charlotte and Rhea, that probably would drop down to the 6.5.
Wow, almost right to the middle there. Then
that match really made it, because that it told a story.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it was like watching Bret and Shawn in there, but it was damn near close. It was like their own version. Now, if I watch a wrestling match again, and you think of the match that they always throw down your throat, which was good, between Bayley and Sasha back in NXT.
This one's up there now?
This is main roster, yeah. Rick. Mm-hmm. Ricky Steamboat, Rick Flair.
Ricky Rick.
Ricky Rick. But no, it was good. I liked it. They could have, like I said, The thing that they need to get rid of the fucking pre-shows. We don't need it.
Yeah.
Make it for WrestleManias only.
Yeah. I mean, make it for, maybe make it just for the main event, the four ones, like the Rumble, because then you could throw statistics and they could talk about statistics for the Royal Rumble. Survivor Series, if only if they're doing that six-man elimination type deal. You know what I mean? Like a traditional Survivor Series match.
But you know what I mean though. Sorry to cut you off, but like for WrestleManias, like the hype up beforehand. Yeah, that's what we need. We don't need the hype up before every pay-per-view.
Well, like, but do you see what they were trying to do after this WrestleMania? They were doing Backlash at WrestleMania, or WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah.
I was afraid they were gonna start doing that because like WrestleMania is, oh my god, it's a big thing, but oh, let's throw WrestleMania on this like Backlash.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're gonna diminish WrestleMania's name.
Right.
Because you get the tinglies when you hear WrestleMania. You get that tinglies. You can't have it for everything because then the tinglies are going to go away.
Yeah. So, takes away from it.
Exactly. So that's what I mean, like with the way. Exactly. With the way Raw used to be when it would maybe go over the 2 hours. Ooh, that's exciting. Now, oh, it's 3 hours. Like, you are giving a bloated man more food to cram down their face when they should just get off the couch already. Like,
and that's why much. America's obese.
Exactly, because you keep cramming wrestling down our throats.
And the throats are pizza pies.
We don't like it. But, hey, excellent job on the review. I felt like I was there. I appreciate that. And, you know, my dumbass review of how a little bit of SmackDown went with the live crowd. It was
great, fantastic. Like I said,
for 5 minutes and then, you know.
No, that's all you need to say. And also, a job well done to you for your review. It made me feel like I didn't watch it, and I felt like we both just said, fuck SmackDown. Dude, how sad. I mean, how sad is it, though? We used to, as fans growing up, we used to run to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I don't go out of my way to watch it. I was
if
off
it's on
Monday.
And there's nothing else on, I'll catch it. But
I'm never off of work on Mondays. I was off this Monday and I barely watched it. I also don't have cable too, but I heard Goldberg, and man, I hated to be that statistic, but I tuned in just to see.
Yeah.
I said, really? Why Goldberg? Why Goldberg again? Is Brock busy right now?
Yes. The answer is yes.
We also haven't seen Brock since what? WrestleMania of last year, right?
I think so. Yeah. He worked at Pandemic Mania. Yeah. So the first
what else do we want now?
I want Brock. The recent pictures of Brock though. I want the stubbled beard, and he's got like a little like hair up into a ponytail. I want that Brock Lesnar to come back. This hipster like motherfucker. Like, that's a different Brock. And then him without Paul. Paul's busy with Roman. But
that's my next question. My next question. We can maybe even end the show on this question.
Yeah, we'll end it on this one. Yeah.
This is for you, Mikey.
Oh, boy.
This is for you because this is your boy. What does Paul Heyman do when Brock comes back? Does Paul Heyman work with Brock only and turn on Roman? Does he work with Roman only and turn on Brock? Or does Paul have the two work within each other?
It reminds me of the Brock Punk type situation, but it's like, so when Heyman had Punk, I felt like they were best friends with each other. And when Heyman has Lesnar, it's a business association.
Right.
Now, when Heyman has Roman, it's almost like a mutation between the two, because he's doing the CM Punk thing when he holds up the belt, when he comes out with Roman Reigns, but it also seems like he is definitively working under Roman Reigns. Like, you know, Paul, get me this so-and-so. And he's like, right away. So I feel like Paul is more tail tucked between his legs when he's with Roman. But then I also feel like Paul is in it for... If there could be this whole big backstory they work up with Roman, it would be that Paul is in it for that belt.
Okay. Because
he's looking at that belt. He's always looking at that championship belt. He's always holding that belt. So, like, I could see him screwing Roman over. And then they would try to make Roman face again. But also, I could see them maybe trying to make Brock a face to fuck up that fucking cockiness face that is Roman Reigns. So I really don't know.
I've heard Brock face fuck, and all I could think about is just like,
no, not that. Him with Sable to make that kid that looks exactly like him.
So turned on.
I'm just like, but yeah, so that's my convoluted answer is maybe. There's your
is this so
for that question? It's just maybe,
maybe question mark.
But yeah,
do you think this makes a good segue to Brock versus Roman at let's say a WrestleMania of maybe this year, which turns to now? Here's the story, and here's how it will play out. Brock comes back. Let's say Royal Rumble wins it. Does everything he needs to do, and you see Paul Heyman come out and like get that, you know, that shit eating grin that he's got where he looks, and then has okay, it's like a custody battle. Does Roman get Heyman, who gets Paul? So, which at that point at WrestleMania, it ends up Paul's the guy in between. He's like, hey, I've been with him, he's been my client for so long, but Roman, he's my, you know, my head of the table, blah blah blah. And they have it work out that way so that at this point, as you mentioned, he screws Roman over, kind of quote unquote turns him face, but then let's say The Rock comes back at this WrestleMania and then like helps him out or something.
This would be the only WrestleMania, if they did this right, where Paul Heyman could literally bring both men to the ring. Like it would be his one charge or his two charges, and he would just be in the middle, and he wouldn't make any decision. He would just sit there and watch it. Right. He'd come out, you know, he'd be there. He wouldn't even come out with either of them. He'd be out already.
Right.
And he would and just announce be in the him? Middle. No. Here comes Paul Heyman, no music, all that shit. Him just walking out. And he just sits there and he just watches the match.
And he could still pull that off too.
Yeah, he could because
it won't look weird.
No, it wouldn't. But it would be interesting because he could be fighting in Brock's corner and he could be fighting in Roman's corner. But then at WrestleMania, the show shows he comes out first. No music played for none of them, for neither of his guys. Just walks out and just stands there and watches the match.
Unless ECW theme plays.
I mean, yeah, maybe. But you know what I mean? Like, so they could do that. And that would be history making in that I could never think of a manager coming out for both guys.
Right.
So that would be something. That would be
WWE's listening. So they might be that's that. A good idea. Yeah.
So. Hire us.
Please.
Yeah. No, I guess we could end the show now. Is there anything you want to say, big boy?
No, just that, and you know what a segue it'll be into WrestleMania of the next year, because this year it's in Texas, but the following year it's in Hollywood again. So I'm trying to think what they could do to segue into it. Exactly. So one thing I would like to know, while we've been anxiously working through this episode here, I personally have been not only wearing my nice, beautiful boosted shades, indoors, of course, and I've also been sipping on a nice, ice-cold Loco coffee with benefits, cold brew coffee with maple water. It was absolutely fantastic.
OJ, cool. No. I'm gonna hear that. I feel like it's next year. Sounds good.
Use our codes, guys. Wrestling WE. Boosted shades. Summer is still upon us. You're going taking a trip to the beach. You need a pair of shades. You need a pair of shades to drive with. Hit up boostedshades.com. Use our code for 15% off. Wrestling WE. Also, if you want to sip a nice ice cold Loco coffee while you're driving down to the Outer Banks with your boosted shades on, you need to keep your pep in your step and keep that pedal to the metal, baby. You want to use Wrestling WE for 10% off of your coffee. Hit it up. And just thank you to everyone who's listened to us. I'm Jay Glow, as this is Mikey Dantley saying, hey, see ya.